And now the game where we ask people with long records of achievement in one field of endeavor about something else entirely. It is an exciting time to be a baseball fan here in Chicago. Yes, it is. Both the Cubs and the White Sox seem to be heading for the postseason, unless something freakish happens, such as they remember they're the Cubs and the White Sox. So we thought we'd check in with the Chicago baseball legend, Moose Skowron, the kid from the west side of Chicago who went to the big leagues and won 5 World Series in the 1950s and 60s, 4 with the legendary Yankees teams of that era. Moose Skowron, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Nice to be here.
Thank you. Before we go any further, let me make sure I got the record correct. 5 World Series victories in total. You played in 6 World Series?
I played in 8 World Series.
Played in 8?
8, we won 5.
Right.
Four with the Yankees, 1 with the Dodgers, right. 1963.
Right, and you played with the Yankees in the 1950s, with that what they call the second golden era of the Yankees, with Mantle and Joe DiMaggio.
I never played with DiMaggio.
You never played with Joe DiMaggio? No, he retired before you.
He retired in 51, and I got there in 1954. I was with the Yankees 9 years. We won 7 pennants.
Wow.
Got to remember, good trivia. The 3 M's, Maris, Mantle, and Moose. We might have had a few cocktails, but we're not no steroids.
Really?
That's for darn sure.
As they say, you did it on beer.
I said, some of us.
Yeah.
Some of us. I wish to hell I was playing 1 year. I'd be a multimillionaire today.
Yeah.
I made $500,000 in 17 years, and I was in 8 World Series. The winning share in the World Series in the 50s was $8,000, and the loser share was $5,000. Today, it's $400,000 for winning and $200,000 for losing.
And yet the mob has to cut back.
I know.
Yeah. It's like you were playing baseball for NPR.
And you were telling me earlier, you were saying that you guys back in the day were a little tougher than the players today.
Oh, well, if you hit a home run today, like Soriano, and he's watching the ball go over the fence, in our time, if Drysdale or Bob Gibson would be pitching, Soriano would be in the hospital. They wouldn't take that stuff. I mean, Mickey Mantle used to hit a lot of long home runs, but when he ran around the bases, he always had his head down. But today it's so different, and now you can't pitch inside to anybody. You might hurt them. I got hit in the head one day. Ike Delock from the Boston Red Sox. I hit a home run off of him, and Ted Williams told me this story. He says, when Ike Delock come back to the bench, he says, the next time Moose comes up, I'm going to hit him right between the eyes. Well, he hit me right in the head. I go to first base. Casey Stengel says, Moose, can you read the scoreboard? I read the scoreboard. I says, God, let my roommate Bob serve it a ground ball to the shortstop. Hand it to second base. I'll go break up that double play. Who was playing second base? A guy by the name of Gene Mock. I broke his leg. And he never played another game in the major leagues. I didn't do it on purpose. I just happened to. We were taught to break up double plays. Now these guys are afraid to slide because their agent says, don't get hurt. And that's the way it was in the old days. Not like it is today.
Wow, no.
Wow.
You were telling me about one pitch. Was it Bob Gibson who was particularly mean?
Oh, yeah. Bob Gibson. We ran a fantasy camp in Arizona, and Bob Gibson's a pitcher with us. You know, we're old-timers. And some guy was giving him a hard time in the locker room. And Bob Gibson took a couple pieces of tape, and he put it on his uniform. He says, that's where you're getting hit. Saturday. I said, Bob, you can't do that. That guy might be a plumber. He needs his hands, you know? He hit him in the chest. I couldn't believe it. But Bob Gibson, he'd throw at you.
He was headhunting at fantasy camp?
Yes, sir. You didn't give him a hard time.
Wow.
He was mean. So was Don Drysdale and Koufax.
Wow. I got to ask a couple more questions.
Go ahead.
You were a first baseman for most of your career, right?
Yes, sir.
I've always wondered this. Guy gets a single, guy walks, they go to first base, talks to the first baseman, the other team. What in the world are you guys talking about?
I ask him a couple of questions. One, there was this scout with the Chicago Cubs. I'll never forget. Billy Jurgis. I was working out at Sox, at Cubs Park, and it was raining. It started to rain. I was the last guy to take batting practice. He wouldn't let me hit because he had to put the tarpaulin on the field. So I make the big leagues. Now Billy Jurgis is a manager with the Washington Senators. He says, Moose, you talk to everybody at first base, but you don't talk to me. I said, I hate you. I said, I don't like you. And then I saw him. He was scouting out here about 4 or 5 years ago. He says, Moose, you still angry at me? I said, you bet your fanny I am.
What did he ever do to you?
He wouldn't let me hit.
I got to ask you one last thing before we play the game. One of the great things players of your era had, of course, was the nicknames. Pee-wee, Dizzy, yours was Moose. Where did it come from?
Well, Grandpa, when I was 7 years old, my grandfather shaved off all my hair. And I got outside, and all the older guys started calling me Mussolini. At that time, he was the dictator of Italy. And as years went on, my first name in Polish is Bolesław Józef Skowron. It means William Joseph Skowron. That's why I got my nickname. And Mickey and Whitey used to always say Bill to me, and I wouldn't answer them back. If they call me Moose, I talk to them. Other than they like to agitate me, which is fine. I didn't care.
No, you've forgotten all about it.
Well, Moose, we are so delighted to have you with us here. Thank you. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're bad, you're dangerous, you're invincible. And now you're eligible to join the AARP.
As hard as it is to believe, entertainer Michael Jackson turned 50 last week.
Oh, my heavens.
He celebrated, he says, with a quiet party at home, watching cartoons with his kids. And it is a tribute to his remarkable history and place in our culture that, in this case, watching cartoons with the kids sounds really creepy. Nonetheless, we're going to ask you, Moose, 3 questions about the king of pop. Get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carol Castle, singing The Man in the Mirror on their home answering device.
Wow.
Carl, who is Moose Skowron playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Quinetta Daniels of Chicago.
So here we go. First question. Everyone knows that for a while, Mr. Jackson's best friend was a pet chimpanzee he called Bubbles. But he didn't want Bubbles merely for companionship. He said the chimp also worked for his monkey chow. How did he do that? A, Bubbles had an excellent ear. If Bubbles screeched along to a new song, Jackson could be sure it would be a hit. Was it B, Bubbles, a neat and tidy chimp, routinely cleaned Mr. Jackson's bedroom? Or C, Bubbles, using crayons and finger paint, created artworks which fetched thousands of dollars in auction?
Yeah.
Is that how you stared down pitchers? Because right now I'm ready to fade.
A or B, you want me to say?
Oh,
A,
I want
B
you to say A, B, or C. He was either, he listened to the music and told him whether it was good or
I'll
bad.
I'll say A.
You're going to say he listened to the music. If Bubbles screeched in a chimpanzee fashion, Mr. Jackson would know that the song was a good one, if Bubbles
right.
liked it. That's a great idea, but no, it was actually B. He cleaned Mr. Jackson's bedroom. According to Mr. Jackson, Michael Jackson said this in some unaired footage in that famous BBC documentary. He said Bubbles would dust the bedroom. All right, you still have 2 more chances.
Okay.
Yeah, just strike one. But now, you know, that's nothing. That's nothing. You still have 2 more strikes. Here we go. During the early 1990s, crew members who worked on his various films, videos, and other projects had to sign a contract in which they had to agree to do what? A, to refer to Mr. Jackson at all times in the third person, as in, would Mr. Jackson like his lunch now? B, not ever, ever to stare at him. Or C, to only listen to Michael Jackson's music on their Walkman CD players or stereos during the shoot?
I'll say A.
You're going to say A, that they had to refer to... If somebody came up to Michael Jackson, instead of saying, would you, sir, they had to say, would Mr. Jackson? No, actually, it was B. They were not allowed to stare at him.
It was so close.
I know. Last question.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Even though he's 50 years old now, Michael Jackson is not slowing down. According to a British tabloid, what is the king of pop up to these days? A, he's writing an autobiographical opera in which he will play himself at all stages of his life. B, he's creating a line of frozen foods called Come Eat with Michael. Or C, he's dating bodacious actress Pamela Anderson.
I say C.
You're going to go for Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
You're right. He's dating Pamela Anderson.
Thank God.
Apparently.
Oh.
Thank God. According to the Daily Mirror tabloid, Michael Jackson has had two private meetings in Malibu with a 41-year-old former Baywatch star, once for drinks, once for coffee. I presume they discussed things of mutual interest like being a divorced parent, the trappings of fame, plastic surgery. Carl, how did Moose Garman do on our show?
Peter, he had one correct answer, but Moose needed two to win for Granetta Daniels.
Mm. But he does win the consolation prize, which is Pamela Anderson.
Exactly true. Moose Garman is a six-time All-Star first baseman.
Eight-time All-Star. Eight World Series and eight All-Stars.
A Chicago baseball legend, Moose Garman. So delighted to have you with us. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Moose. Bravo.